Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. We are live today, Sunday, February 9th, 2014. I'm Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am Ash
Riot. That was a great pregnant pause there, Ash.
Thank you. What's a pregnant pause?
It's one that's very pregnant.
I guess I have a pregnant pause.
It means that it's longer than normal.
That's okay, I guess.
Approximately 9 months of pausing.
Okay, that's,
there you go.
I get it. Okay.
That's a pregnant pause.
Well, I guess I've learned some things today.
So have I.
I think it's good that everyone learns something every day.
I think it's excellent, especially even when you're 110 years old.
Hey, people, guess what our topic is today? Nothing.
That was good.
I know, wasn't it?
Why don't you tell them the exact... Actually, we came up with a title.
Well, everyone, our title today is... Junk Drawer Extravaganza. And what's so beautiful about it today is that it doesn't matter. We can talk about anything. It doesn't matter. We could talk about the door in this room. You can't see it, but that doesn't matter.
That means we can still talk about it.
Exactly. We didn't want to have a topic today. And it's not like the easy way out. Oh, yeah, we didn't have time to think of a topic. We had time to think about a topic, and this
we
is
had
what
two
we chose.
Weeks.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what is it about a junk drawer? Everybody has one, right?
And it's fun to just peruse
kind of peruse it. And we were actually over dinner chatting about I would like to start this junk drawer. I'm going to open it up right now, and I'm going to pull this one out. This is part of the Hologram Radio Show junk drawer. There are many.
Oh, yeah. There are many pipes in the sewer system of love.
Now, that was something that was Ash Riot came out of her mouth probably about a year and a half ago during one of our shows. So I'd like to talk about that, Ash.
I just can't believe that. I can't believe. And it just came out, and then we all paused and went, did
what?
You really say that?
I really liked it because we're talking, our topic at the time was about love, and I just thought that was brilliant that you kind of... you know, many pipes in the sewer systems of love.
I just still. And I thought,
so
it was,
where was your brain, Ash?
Like, and I thought I was really saying something deep. And then when it came out, I went, oh crap. That was live.
So there we go. There's something from our drawer that, again, like, I just think it's great. I love it. I still love it. I'm always going to quote you. I'll probably be 80 years old quoting you. Who knows? You know how all of these people are, I'm a big quote person, and I grab quotes from the past, mm-hmm. and maybe when you're long gone, you know, 200, 300 years from now, someone's going to look up on the World Wide Web, which will have been greatly changed by then, and find your quote, there are many pipes in the sewer systems of love. And
really,
who knows,
so.
Maybe they'll find it quite profound 200, 300 years from now.
People might make t-shirts and mugs with that on it.
I think so. So that's what I wanted to pull out. I just think that's wonderful. I love that. That's a great memory. And makes me laugh every time I think about it.
That's the fun part about our radio show, is that there's tons to say.
About whatever you want. And one thing that we said when we were describing this show on our website at hollow-ground.com is that we're basically going to talk about anything that comes up while we're talking. We haven't prepared at all. We haven't brought a sheet with us.
On purpose.
On purpose. So things that are coming up, and the reason why I brought that up is because it happened today at dinner, and I was thinking about that. Another thing that came up, and this is totally out off the wall, golden showers.
What the heck? She just throws that at me now? What the heck? Okay, so the call-in numbers are 888-627-6008. We'll get back to Golden Showers in a minute. So if you want to call in, you can change the fate of this show.
That's right.
If you call in,
we'll talk about
say
whatever.
Anything, comments, just use this as talk radio as can be.
Ask us questions if you want.
888-627-6008.
I know, I'm bringing that up. Ash and I haven't even talked about what we're going to talk about during the show. So I'm bringing it up because it came up for me, and I'll tell you why. Because I had a memory just within the last 15 minutes, and I don't even know how it got jogged, but there was a woman in Los Angeles, a musician, and I was in LA, and she was sweet. I really liked her. Her name's Judy. I don't say the whole name. And she had an album out, and she was sharing it with me, and anyways, we got Travis visiting us now, and we can't get him up on the sofa here. He's wearing a Martha Stewart champ shirt.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
His shirt came on off while I was trying to lift him.
I don't know if I want to talk about Golden Showers with Travis in the room. I don't know how comfortable I am. Anyway, so she was talking about this one song that she'd written and started sharing very personally about her she had a boyfriend. And that was just right into Golden Showers. And I didn't have a clue what a golden shower was. And that's the truth.
Really?
This is, I don't know how many years ago. And I'm going, what? What's that? And then she told me, I'm like, really? People actually like to do that? So I thought that's something that could be in the junk drawer of, because that's obviously in the junk drawer, you know, in my mind. But I remember, first of all, you know, not even knowing what a golden shower was. And then it actually was quite traumatic for her because it's not something she enjoyed doing. And it almost became kind of an abusive situation for her.
Yeah.
And And so this was a very distressing and disturbing song that she had written. And when she shared it with, you know, the whole background of the song with me, I was even more kind of, I guess, disturbed. It was disturbing to me because she wasn't completely consensual. But yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Like, that's intense. I was just installing Wikipedia on my phone so I could
Golden showers.
Yeah.
You know, like, what a golden shower is.
I know, but like the actual, like, you know, Urban Dictionary or like something.
Oh, Travis is sharing a little cough with y'all.
I wanted to see what it's like, what the actual definition of golden shower was. Like
when a man or woman, yeah, likes to pee on you. Yeah. So, do you have any comments, Ash, about that subject, that random subject in the junk drawer of Cheryl's mind?
Well, not on that subject, but I think it's really cool that, like, I mean, we've been doing this show for over 3 years now.
Yeah.
We're in our third year, right?
We're in our fourth year. Technically in our fourth year, but we've been doing the show over 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Anyway, it's trippy how fast and how much time changes. Like, it's just
how much can change in time, in a period of time.
Yeah, I mean, we're still doing the show, we're thinking about all different avenues for the show and just wanting to, you know, find ways to bring our show out more into the open and not just, you know, have a few listeners, like ways to promote it and things like that. I mean, it's really great because we have a lot of listeners now, but to expand that, and I'm really excited. Because I think that we enjoy doing something so much and we're able to not just touch base with people, you know, just by calling them on the phone. This is like on air.
That's right.
And I like that feeling. It's kind of like on standing
air,
on the edge.
Unrehearsed.
Well, exactly.
That's right. No script here.
If you would have said before the show, oh, I want to talk about Golden Showers, I'd say,
You would have said, don't say it. That's why I didn't tell you.
See, there you go.
And the only reason why I brought it up is because there's so much going on in the world that is directly, you know, our experience. There's a lot of indirect experience. There's so much information coming across, even Facebook, for example, the news feed. And I get inundated with news feed from Facebook. And I just, you know, some of the stuff I can't believe, you know, what I'm watching and seeing and video and you know, on the on the internet. And some things bring me a lot of joy and some things bring me a lot of distress. And I am especially interested, I guess, at this juncture in my life because we're such a dependent upon mobile devices and all sorts of things. And it's nice for me to recollect in my memory action changes where I've met a lot of people on Facebook too that I've never met in person. Mm-hmm. And I've had dialogue with them and actually become quite intimate with mm-hmm. them just by this, because you just feel a heart connection somehow with certain individuals and you share quite openly with each other, which, you know, some people might go, what the hell? But you just trust that part of you, that intuitive voice that says mm-hmm. you can discuss this with this person. And there's some people I've actually, you know, on the internet who have reached out to me via Facebook, mostly other things too, but that have been actually kind of distressful to me. You know, some people that you know aren't really interested in your best interest. Some people like to shock. Some people like to stalk. Some people like to, you know, basically kind of put you off kilter. And I like the idea. Right now, I'm exploring the idea of good and evil. I'm looking at the world in a way of, you know, there's things about this world that I really love, and there's things about this world that I detest, and I find it very difficult to embrace, and that I'm shocked by, and I'm, you know, greatly upset by. And it's always about the behavior and integrity of human beings that can make me feel joyous and in mm-hmm. such jubilation. And I feel I actually will cry with joy at certain people's, you know, level of service to humanity, to animals, mm-hmm. To nature, to the environment. And there's some people that they're the opposite. They're destructive and malicious and
horrible,
horribly dark in their intentions. And that makes me just, I become enraged. I become disgusted. I, you know, it's about disconnection. I certainly don't want to feel connected. So I'm sort of in this place of, well, you know, spiritually we're all created equal and in all of this understanding or thought. Yet how do we kind of integrate that? So that's kind of where I am. So there's a little bit of my junk drawer, like where I'm at in terms of my personal thoughts.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you that after I just felt Travis feel his fur. It's so soft. what I was going to say, I plan on asking you that on this show.
Really?
Just about...
Isn't it interesting? I brought it up myself.
Well, what I was going to ask you basically is, I want you to expand, and I'm going to question you. What do you think of Facebook overall? Like, give me a pro and a con, like... Because I really have been feeling like I don't want Facebook anymore.
Yeah, I know. And we've talked about this before, and you've actually shut down your pages in the past.
Yeah, because it just has to be too much. It's just like being in public all the time.
Yeah, it's just sort of the same thing. You know, you've talked before, Ash, about how the anonymity of the internet has caused people to actually lash out and be very dark and being extremely, dehumanizing to other individuals in their comments, say the YouTube comments
what I've said, like YouTube comments are just horrible.
And the thing is that one thing I've made a commitment to myself is I've never, ever, and will never, this is my intention, ever do an anonymous comment on anything.
Yeah.
I feel that if each of us were able to stand behind our own names, like I think it's imperative
That's true.
We do, because you know, use your name and then think about what you'd say.
Yeah.
But anybody can hide behind Anonymous One or Rocker Chick 275. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
My first screen name when I was like 13, when that first happened, was Veggie Girl 26.
Veggie Girl 26.
Yeah.
That's cute. And then you became Rocker Girl, right?
I was meeting all these like different vegetarian people and sending emails through Hotmail. And it was like, we just thought we were so cool because we had internet.
Well, you were cool, and you still are cool, and I think that's sweet that you had a cause even at that young age. You're deciding, I'm going to be a vegetarian. This is going to make a difference in the world, like Paul McCartney and all the other famous vegetarians.
Speaking of,
yes, that's one thing I wanted to mention. You mention it, Ash.
Well, I'll mention it, and then you're going to tell me what you think about Facebook more.
Okay.
Here we go. It is Beatles' 50th anniversary for
coming to America. Hooray!
That's really cool.
50 years ago today, the Beatles stepped onto the soundstage at the Ed Sullivan on the theater. I can't remember the name.
Oh, I don't know.
I used to know it like moments ago. I'm distracted by the many, many guitars that are surrounding me and suddenly seem very loud.
Large and fun.
We're in the music room. What do I think about it? 50 years ago, they changed the history, I guess. Many people see it as they changed the history of America, of music, period. I feel blessed that the Beatles have been in this world. I feel especially blessed by John Lennon, because I feel that he's the one who speaks out to me the most. I feel just his words, his wisdom, his wit, his sardonic evaluation of, and actually very on the spot, often caustic, but right dead on observations of society. I loved how he said that we're bigger than Jesus and didn't apologize for it because he knew what he meant by it. And those who knew what he meant by it didn't ostracize him for it. I feel very strongly that he was a man, and the group in general were a group of men that were able to lead in many ways by example, and definitely were not destructive, but in fact constructive to our society in general. And I relate to John, I relate to Paul, I relate to all of them in a way that they're, John and Paul, John especially, he's an artist, he's not just a songwriter and a singer and a musician, he's also was a visual artist. And I think that a lot of artists are more than one thing. I've noticed this in art, the art world. I've noticed this. I'm talking about people that call themselves artists, whether that is I'm a musical artist, or I'm an actor as an artist, or I'm an actual visual artist, that it's not just usually one talent that any of these people hold. It's many talents. Tony Curtis used to paint. There's a lot of people that were painters and actors and musicians. Johnny Depp's a musician. He's a really good musician, but a lot of people don't know that because people see you for what you become famous for. So, when you do enough of one thing and you become really good at your craft, at that particular craft, people see you as that one thing. But I think it's important to realize, and I think John was someone who kind of showed this, he was more than just a Beatle. He was more than just a musician.
I was petrified of the Beatles when I was a baby.
He was an activist, and he was an artist, a visual artist, and he was a poet in his own right, and he was definitely a man who was more than just a musician. And, a lot of people will see him and others who are seen for their particular vocation as one thing, and I think that's the one thing that I strive for even personally. I think it depends on the person. They'll see me as one thing, but it's kind of getting outside this idea of what I am. I describe myself, and I can be 100 to 100,000 things.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes people just see you in that one box. So what do I think of it? It's fabulous. I appreciate the Beatles more so now than I did when I was younger. You say you were afraid of them. You didn't like their song. Which one used to freak you out?
Oh, and my mom can
attest to this.
I was petrified of, what's it called?
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I remember this.
And it was just like the whole, like I could not stand the melody. To this day, even though I like the Beatles now, I cannot handle it.
Well, we'll have to test you out.
No, I can't stand that song. I really, really, really like it. It's like the eeriest, most empty, just horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach whenever I think of it.
That's interesting.
I can't stand.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I Want to Hold Your
Hand.
And
it's such a lovely song and with a lovely message. And it petrified you as a child.
I can just hear it.
I don't know. Maybe you should go be psychoanalyzed or do a little hypnotherapy with that one. And
no, I don't think so.
Find the crux and the foundation of that.
No, I don't think so.
I'm intrigued.
I don't know why. It was just like when I hear the song The Little Drummer Boy, I just seriously get ultra upset because when I was in kindergarten, my mom left for a coffee break. And that scared me. And then when we, and that was another Christmas song, and she was gone, she had to go for a coffee break, and I was scared to be alone at school because of the lady with the one tooth. And then when I heard Little Drummer Boy, I had to get sent home with Jay Corder. His whole family, they took me home because my mom was late to come and get me, and I was scared of their family.
I think you're just scared in general. It sounds like you're a scared little girl.
As a child, I had
scared of the Beatles, scared of Jay, whatever his name is.
Jay Corder.
Scared of a Drummer Boy song.
When I was a child, I was particular.
I think you were a little
And I had
sheltered.
Attachment issues, okay? I had severe attachment issues. I couldn't sleep over at people's houses. Because I was like this little tiny worried girl when I was young. I didn't want to go anywhere.
Veggie girl, 26.
I didn't want to go anywhere in case something happened to my mom or dad. I was just this weird kid. I'm still weird.
And I had such a different, an opposite childhood, too.
Yeah. Call in and share your childhood with us.
From your junk drawer extravaganza.
Just dig and find some stuff. Stuff like that. I'm actually waiting for my phone to register, and I'm going to look up the exact definition of junk drawer.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just waiting.
Have you been inspired to see if we're, in fact, doing the right thing by calling this show our junk drawer show?
Yes, and 1, 2, 3, tell me about Facebook.
Okay, so I've split feelings about Facebook. There's times when I feel very strongly that I don't want to do it anymore. It's time-consuming. I don't use it. I actually had somebody who's a Facebook friend. Most of my Facebook friends I don't know personally. Most of them are people that have asked to be my friends. I think, I don't know if it's because of the music or because I know somebody that they know. But for whatever reason, I've always accepted friend requests, and I had actually somebody recently just iMessage me, which was the weirdest thing. And for whatever reason, they somehow got into my iMessage, and I guess it's because there's some setup.
There's some setup where your phone number on Facebook is viewable.
I don't think I've never put my phone number on Facebook.
But it doesn't matter. It's because it's mobile. And so, like, I uncheck mine too.
Really?
I think if you uninstall Facebook and reinstall it, maybe you can find. But that's odd.
Yeah. So anyway, I got this text and it was really late, and I'm like, I didn't recognize the name. Yeah, it was 12:00 in the morning. I'm looking at it right now, on January 18th, and.
I mean, January?
It was January, yeah. Oh. And it kind of, you know, I thought it was innocent enough. It was, you know, asking me about a post that I'd put on that I had actually just reposted from someone else that kind of stood out to me about treating animals, you know, with kindness and love. You wouldn't, you know, get rid of your child. Why get rid of an animal? How easy some people find it to let go of their animals. They don't really have that kind of connection to the beingness of them. And so I posted that, and this person asked me about it, and I didn't know what they meant. And then they asked me, why don't I see any of your song posts on your timeline? I thought that was an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, me as a musician, that's kind of my standout thing right now.
Yeah.
What I'm focusing on. But, you know, I don't use Facebook for that, because to me, this is how I answered him. I said, this is to do with what I said, all living beings are serious statements. We live in a world where we've been mistaught for the most part. We've learned to revere the profane and to desire the absurd and to lose sight of truths. I, like you, are one of many, and being a musician, although in many ways my highest calling, is merely one of the many things that I am and hold within me. Again, like each of us, to me, Facebook is a we platform, and those who are meant to stumble upon or deliberately choose to find my songs, my work, my art, will.
That's
and that's
true.
How I answered it. And I do feel that Facebook is a we platform.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I get a little affronted when I see people use it for a me platform. Now, I understand that it is your page, and I'm not taking that away. But I guess because I have mine isn't really just about family and friends. I know a lot of people out there, they just have close family and they have mm-hmm. friends, and that's cool because they're sharing their pictures. That's wonderful, right? But when you're more of a person who's kind of, you know, you are, is a musician, that you are people, I'm not known, whatever, you're known to a degree. And because this is what you do, there are songs out there that I'm, you know, there's videos out there and stuff. Anyways, I just feel that Facebook then is more about the we of us, not the me of me. It's not, I've never been one for shameless self-promotion. I truly do believe, and you could call me a fool because I've been to the business classes on music and I'm probably a fool. That's okay. You can see me as one. It doesn't bother me. I just follow my own instinct, my inner voice, and it just feels very much that it's about connecting to each other mm-hmm. on a humanity level as opposed to buy my song. You know, I will mention when things are happening for us just to kind of keep people in the loop, but
well, see, I have a lot of respect for you. Like, even if I didn't know you, I'd have a lot of respect for you because I was recently looking and I can name the artist. It doesn't really matter, but I was looking at an artist who's recently going to be dropping an album. Like, they're just going to be releasing an album. And there's so many options. Like, spend $29.95 and get this from her. Spend $149 and get this. Spend $900, get your name in the CD liner.
That's
notes.
The new way of doing it, the crowdfunding kind of idea and their back art project. And this is, I know who you're talking about because she's somebody I think's fantastic. And
she's amazing.
I've known about her for years and she's been huge in my development even as a singer and emotionally. She's been around for a long time. And that she's kind of gone this way is a bit perplexing to me because mm-hmm. in my mind, why would she need to ask money to make an album? It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make
but
sense
it's the,
to me either.
But it's the way that things are today for musicians. And, you know, very few musicians, there's so many. This is the what you talked about. Watch Bob Lefsett or, I mean, read him.
Yeah.
There's so many musicians. No filter now with the internet and the record companies going under and, you know, everybody's DIY or if they're signed, they're not just singing and making albums.
Yeah.
They're selling perfume and they're doing this, you know, and that and Super Bowl and this and that.
That's really weird to me.
It's a whole different thing now than it was back when the Beatles came here. And it's basically signs of the times, but I still believe it's not all about what you do. A lot of it, you know, when something's meant to happen, it happens. You know, you look at the stories, it's not that you don't work hard because we all are working hard in our way to develop the way we're developing and to create what we're creating and to hone our crafts and whatnot. But it really is about destiny. This is sort of where the idea for me of destiny and fate comes in because there's so many stories of people, and I even knew this prior when I was in the modeling world, and you know, the models just being approached, you know, by scouts, you know, just being hanging out with their mom, and mm-hmm. suddenly, you know, there's a scout, and next thing you know, they're, you know, making $100,000 a day and being on the covers of Vogue. It just kind of is the same thing. It's a series of things that come together. And I think individually, you have to really just know yourself in a way, in terms of what it is that you feel that you're bringing to the table with regards to this lifetime. And, you know, it's a series of experiences. It's not just one mm-hmm. musician. It's, you know, relationships.
But I couldn't believe it when I read all that stuff. It's like 20 options, $2,500 or $5,000 something, that artist will come to your house and give you a live concert?
It was $10,000 that she'd do the concert. And that's a steal. I mean, really, think about it.
In the field of balanced intuitive healing and information, Cheryl Catherine Smith is one of a kind. Not only is she a musician, licensed spiritual minister, and co-host of the radio show Hologram Radio on BBS Radio, but she is also a sought-out and skilled intuitive medium and spiritual counselor. She takes you beyond the scope of space and time into firmly believing not only in yourself, but also the firm knowing in the continuation of life. There is no death, there is nothing to fear, and we are not alone. With years of experience in healing, health, ministry, and metaphysics, rest assured your time together will be everything you hoped. Half hour or full hour readings available by phone, email, or Skype. Email for info and bookings, Cheryl_CatherineSmith@hotmail.com.
Hey, sorry, everybody. We lost our internet connection.
And this might happen again because it's really, really cold here.
Oddly cold.
Oddly cold. And sometimes...
In beautiful Vancouver.
Sometimes our internet signal goes out.
Anyways, yeah, we're talking about just... It's a steal in the grand scheme of things when you talk about shows and having a big name. But it's just it just makes me shake my head. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, life is ultimately all about change. We can't expect things to stay the same. We have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to go with it. Mm-hmm. Because if we resist it, it's just I don't know. It's kind of backpedaling. It's not really doing much good.
Did you just get a tweet from my
dad, but you go ahead and
a fan or friend. Well, I really think, oh, by the way, if we get cut off again, special friends, just see, today is just like we're going to talk on the phone with you.
Yeah.
It's like a personalized radio show.
That's right.
And so if it happens again where we get cut off, don't worry about it. We're coming back. Don's really good. He just puts a commercial on, just kind of, you know, gets you ready for our next topic.
That's right.
Which we don't even know what it's going to be yet. But, I don't know about Facebook, and I don't know about the whole music scene in general. I think that as an artist, it's a really good thing to use Facebook as a promotion tool. But honestly, for some reason, that doesn't really excite me much. Like, see, like, I mean, there's different bands. Like, I'll use, like Ides of Gemini. Great band, one of my all-time favorites now. They're just amazing. When they
LA based.
Yeah, when they update their Facebook, I'm excited to see it. And there's bands, of course, that I've been listening to a lot longer than them or whatever, or that I'm more committed to because they've been a favorite for as long as I can remember and I like them on Facebook. And whenever there's an update, it's annoying because it's 19 times a day. I don't want to hear about them anymore. Yet there's a new band I like and they, you know, they post just a picture or something and it's really neat. And it's not every day, 14 times a day. That to me, I respect more than someone who's trying to shove something down your throat.
Well, definitely. And that's what I just want things to happen naturally. And I want anything to happen naturally, just as I want to it to happen naturally for me to be attracted to an artist. I want it to be, you know, work the same way towards me. You know, I feel the same way. Like, this is why I haven't shut Facebook down, because I feel like it's a wee platform. Mm-hmm. But I do. And I have contemplated, because I've talked We've talked, Ash and I have talked about shutting down our Facebook pages. I think it's more interesting when you're actually touring and whatnot, because you can write from the
or
road. Because I remember I used to blog when I was doing a bit of touring, and you know, I actually got some really great feedback because I was blogging about the different experiences we were having. And there's one time in London, we were in Carlisle in the UK, and we just played a place called the Brickyard that Jamiroquai had just been at, and I was in the back room, and I was reading all the stuff that they had written on the walls, all the various bands who'd been through with Brickyard, and I just remember, you know, I was talking about how I was. It was all about the feelings, the emotions. There was something about that was quite misogynistic, and I was quite irate, and I wrote about it, and I actually got feedback from my blog that it was interesting, that people were actually reading it because it was interesting. And I think that's part of it, is I think it's more kind of conducive when you're actually touring or doing things and you can share, today I ate a, you know, bacon sandwich at a diner and got diarrhea. There you go.
Yeah. I like
how personal do you want it to be?
I like when someone leaves their Facebook open and then you see a post like, I have diarrhea. And then the next thing you see is, oh, you hacked my account. I left it open. Like, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel actually what I'm wanting to do, what I'm feeling led to do, is kind of getting away from Facebook. I'll keep the information going about the band and whatnot. But getting back to blogging, I've been feeling that for a while, like a pull that I'm supposed to be, you know, starting to write again. Because writing is really good for me.
Yeah, I remember.
To do. It makes me feel better when I'm writing. I used to write every day faithfully. And I put that down for a while. And I'm just feeling like it's time to pick it up again. You know, there's times, it's like life is rhythm and life, you know, there's times when you're doing things and they feel right. And there's times when you put them down for a while and then you kind of return to them. And some things you let go and
some things you're meant to let go of.
Yeah. So I think, and as I said, Ash and I have been talking about if we're going to, how many times have you shut your Facebook page down? Three times already?
There's been some times where it's just been like, I've wanted to, I'm going to sound like such a weirdo, get away from certain people. But it's been more than that. It's been just like wanting a change. I, you know, did that once.
I thought you did it more
twice,
than once.
Twice.
Yeah, okay, twice.
Twice. Once just this past year.
Yeah.
And then once quite a while ago.
Yeah.
But I've maybe had 3 Facebook accounts in total since maybe 2007. So, I mean, it's not a lot. But
well, I've had one since 2007, and I've kept it open. I've never shut it down. I visit it daily. I mostly just repost things that I find thought-provoking and share them. And with the sporadic, this is what we're up to, like the Hologram Radio Show, I'll announce. Or if we were going to do a show, I would let people know. Or if we're, you know, what we're up to. If we're sometimes, not always, though. I mean, there's a lot going on that I don't share. Because I'm just thinking, well, why? Mm-hmm. And, so I don't know. This is interesting because this whole social media thing, the whole idea of, you know, so-called celebrities, I say so-called because celebrities change so quickly. Celebrity, non-celebrity within a week, some people, but anyways, I just feel like there's that whole idea of, I don't know what it is, but there's this, we're such a celebrity culture. I don't know. I've never really gotten it, quite honestly. And it's not to say that I'm better or worse than anybody, but I always just kind of thought, well, everybody's the same. It's always been kind of something I've felt. And it's great when people do great things. Of course, I applaud people. I let people know when I think there's truly great thinkers and philosophers
and
talent. Well, no, it's not good or bad. It's just that I'm compelled to do that because I want to share some of this, you know, greatness that other people have because it makes me feel really great to watch them.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. This whole idea of celebrity actually quite bothers me. I don't, it's like putting people on pedestals. What's the point? I just kind of. I think there's a lot of celebrities that actually make me very angry because I think that they're the worst example of human being in terms of,
like, you know, Michael Vick
offering compassion or offering, you know, even talent that's not even there for some of these people. And I just go, why? I don't understand it. It's just, I just feel like we're kind of going backwards as opposed to forwards in many ways in terms of our integrity. And so I don't know, this idea of celebrities being, you know, having access to them, they're more like us, it's, you know, it's good and bad. But I mean, I'm watching on Facebook, here we are talking about it, I'm watching Jimmy Kimmel's read mean tweets, like celebrities read their mean tweets, and the things that people say on Twitter. This is another thing, Twitter's another one. And
I don't tweet very often.
You don't tweet hardly ever.
I don't like Twitter. I don't. I think it's just, I think that it's a much more watered down way.
I think it's more effective and quick. That's why I like it. I think that it's quick.
But if I'm going to read something, I'd rather read something in depth than just, this is what I'm doing in under 40 characters.
But not everybody's saying that on Twitter. You know, a lot of it's information. They're giving you links to things that explain whatever. I understand. Yeah. But, you know, it's whatever you're attracted to naturally. You're not.
Yeah.
I tend to be a little, I like Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, you said, what was the tweet? It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom.
There we go.
Hello.
It's Ash's mom. Hi, how are you?
My girls? Good, good. How are you guys?
We are very good. We are just rocking the radio show of randomness right now. And you are our yes. first caller of love.
And what was this? It was a junk drawer? Was it junk yeah, drawer or thought, what was yeah.
She thought it was drunk drawer.
let's talk about our drunk escapades.
Well, I don't have too many. I think twice in my life. I got so sick and don't remember anything. So that was
wow,
it.
Wow. Well, maybe someone else can tell us hey, what
hey,
happened.
Mom, back when I actually used to have alcohol, me and you, remember, we had one glass of wine at someone's house once, and we were wasted, just freaking wasted off of one glass of wine. We had to pull over at Burger King.
Yeah, that was homemade wine, I think that was.
Oh, I've never...
Must have been moonshine.
I've never been that just off of one glass of wine. Me and my mom just looked at each other, and we said, what the heck?
Yeah, it was either moonshine or Russian vodka wine.
Oh, my God. I've never felt that way before.
I couldn't drive. We had to go and sit at I think it was Burger King or something, and we had to sit there. That was incredible.
You know, that's a very interesting time in our lives. So what do you have to say that's completely random? Anything you want to say to us, just say it now.
Okay, well, nothing about Twitter and Facebook. I don't have either, because I don't want people knowing who I am, what I like, where I'm going. That's just me. Anyway, that's as much as I can say on that subject.
Well, and, then, you know what, Janice? I'm going to stop you quickly because I want all our listeners to know that we're very privileged to have you call as a regular guest,
yeah,
because then, you know, the things they can't find out about you yeah. on Facebook or Twitter, they can find out about you on the radio show. So thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. Like I got drunk twice. And then Ash gives away, you know, about Mrs. Baker, the teacher with one tooth. And
I never said her name, though.
I mean, there's so many Mrs. Bakers out there, you know.
With one tooth, though, I don't think so.
No.
Unless she's had it fixed.
Well, she didn't have one tooth. What it was is it was one of those caps that went all the way around, so it looked like she had one long
tooth.
Hey,
she was the beginner of the grill.
Pretty much a white grill.
Oh. There you go.
That's creepy.
I went to help out at kindergarten at Asha's school. And I went for a coffee break, and I came back, and she was just completely hysterical. Like, she was, you know, almost you had to slap her down to calm her down. She was just, like, you know, couldn't catch her breath or anything.
That's abuse,
and
man.
And then she
slap
was hanging.
Down, calm her down.
And
so
then, she was
hanging.
What?
So what kind of thing do you want to talk to us about today?
Mrs. Baker.
Aside from Mrs. Baker, because we already shared that story on the radio.
I know.
We can talk about anything you want because you are a good cook.
See?
No. Cooking direction.
Mrs. Baker, baking.
Yes. Well, okay. Let's talk about, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Well, how about Travis and Casey?
Sure. Tell everybody who Travis and Casey is.
What's that?
I said tell everybody who Travis and Casey are.
Okay. Casey is my cousin's dog that passed away, Randy. And his mom is Bonnie, Randy's widow, and she's had a misfortune of being sick right now. So we're looking after Casey, and Travis is Cheryl and Ash's dog. And Casey gets along with everybody. She's very, very timid, and Travis is the boss. And you know, they were kind of like getting along and not getting along, but all of a sudden they get to know each other. Now they go for walks together and stuff. And don't you wish people could be more like that? More accepting, yes, the way animals are of each other?
You mean that we should let people lead and if we feel that they're being bossy, yeah, and stuff?
Yeah. No.
So when we got a little guy, like Travis is what, one third the size of Casey, you got this little guy telling you what to do, and everything in you goes, no, I don't want to, but you just do because you're a dog and you listen to, I'm just having fun with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's not like that with them. Like, you can tell, like, they're kind of, I don't know. As soon as they set their territory that this is mine and this is mine, then they're okay. And that's
why
I'm saying
people
should.
Well, we're like that, aren't we, really, as people?
Mm-hmm. Well, some people are. Some people aren't. Some people are just bullies, you know?
Some people suck.
So. But some people suck, but a lot of people really are, like, kind like that. They'll kind of feel things out and then settle in.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
You're such a loyal caller. You don't even quite know what you're going to say. Well, I called in to, Travis and Casey. That's what we'll talk about.
So I'm going to ask you a question, Janice, since this is, you know, the junk drawer extravaganza. And, you know, our listeners want to know more about you, too. You shared a lot about your history and about your relationship with your daughter, who you love to pieces. And slap her around when she's being a little excitable. That's cute. Yes, you are.
Yes.
You're your mother's star. You're saying that you don't really like to do the social media because you don't like people knowing things about you. Can I ask you why that is? What is it
Well, I don't know. It's just because I'm a private person. I, you know, the people that I know and love know what I want them to know, and the people I don't know, like in computer cyberspace, I don't know them, so it's none of their business. How about that?
That's a good answer. I just think I also feel the reason why I'm asking is because my mother has nothing to do with social media. She's not really even interested. She's in computers so much. She's got email and iPad and stuff, and she's savvy in that way. But I think a lot of it is generational.
I do too.
And this is why I'm saying is because it's kind of like, I mean, I'm a private person too, very much so. But yet I'm also open because I think it's important for us to be open where we need to be. And you are as well, because you open up on the show. You're also a public speaker and have opened up publicly, you know, because you share what you feel will, touch people's hearts. Because when we come from the heart, we touch the heart. When we're honest, people know it. You can tell the difference. There's an energy to it. And I think that it's generational, that a lot of the, like, they're even saying that Facebook now is, it's for the kind of the older people or folks or whatever.
Yeah.
But younger people, it's not cool enough for them. We're talking like younger, meaning teens, right?
Yeah.
I think that it's just, it's kind of what we're used to. And, you know, the generations now, all they know is technology. Why don't you share with us quickly about 50 years ago, you're talking about this over dinner, when you saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, my God. It was something else. I was at my aunt's house, and my cousin Randy was there, and Karen, and we were younger, and Randy was, you know, the 13-year-old or whatever. And we saw it, and it was just like, it was something huge. It was something huge, like the hair, the long hair, like that was the big thing. Oh, look at the hair, you know. So for the people that were in the room, like the parents and everybody, it was all about the hair. It wasn't about the music. And, you know, the suits that they're wearing, and look at the pointed shoes they have on. And it was like the devil incarnate, you know. And then with Randy, it was, you know, the music and wow. And, he wanted to be like them. And for me and Karen, it was, what's this all about? You know, like we were just, you know, we thought that they were cute. And that was it. Like, to us, it was, we knew it was something big, but we didn't know what. You know, we knew we were a part of something, but, I mean, being little kids, you don't know, right?
But, well, yeah, but you know, it's interesting from your perspective, because you were 9 years old at the time, and
yeah,
you had opportunity to be there. Everybody's celebrating mm-hmm. this 50-year anniversary. I know there's CBS has got some kind of special show on with a lot of different celebrities and stars, taught, you know, giving their tribute to the Beatles. And yeah, I think it's really interesting to hear from people that were actually there, whether you're 9 years old, 19 years old, 29 years old, 39 yeah. years old. I think it's also interesting.
You were part of something.
Pardon me?
And something great, something, you knew you were a part of something, and you knew you were a part of something great, and you knew that, you know, this was, you know, you just knew, didn't matter how old you were, that this was history in the making, you know. And then as they went through, and then you, like, it's almost like they were a part of my life growing up. Like every, you know, there was Help, the album Help. And then when I was in junior high, it was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And then, like, you know, with every, I don't know, different aspect of my life, every different thing that happened to me when I was growing, there was a Beatles album out, or there was a song to associate with. So, I don't know, even that is great, you know, having some, you know, a generation of music, musicians that went with you through every occasion. When somebody was getting married, you know, you remember the song, and Obla Di Obla Da, and, you know, just different songs that you put a memory to. And they were all Beatles songs. And I mean, how many people can say that in their lives? You know, like, which other generation can say that?
Well, you know? I guess we've got the Nirvana generation, because they made a big impact too in music. I think it's great that you, I really love that you shared that you knew that history was in the making, but you knew, but you didn't know. There's a sensation around it, an energy around it, and that's what most people who are writing about it are sharing. I mean, people knew something was big mm-hmm. with these lads from Liverpool. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's interesting how the parents, you're describing, the parents are more concerned about their haircuts. And, mm-hmm. you know, the kids are into the music. The teens were just screaming about the music. And, mm-hmm. you know, Elvis was the one prior to them where, you know, the parents were concerned about the movement. You know, mm-hmm. film them above the waist because it's indecent. Mm-hmm. You know, this sort of obsession with, you know, how separate the music from the look. Brian Epstein, who was their manager, was the one who was responsible for the suits. I've read things about John because my last partner was really intrigued by him and had a lot of literature about the Beatles and about John Lennon and Paul McCartney and everything. And I've read that John just wanted to wear leather jacket and jeans kind of thing, you know, be kind of, you know, that look. And it was Brian Epstein that said, no, lads, let's wear the suits. Let's all look, you know, he was the one who came up with that. A lot of bands now do it too. You know, you look at anybody who goes, you know, talks about music and it's not just today. It's not just about the music. It's about the image. And so yeah. even back then in 1960,
Yep.
64. Even then it was, you know, some people were more concerned about the image than yeah, they were about yeah. the music.
Like now.
Well,
but
now
I
it's
was
kind gonna of
marry,
flipped.
I was going to marry Paul McCartney, and my sister was going to marry George Harrison.
What about John?
Who was going to marry John and Ringo?
I don't know. Maybe there was a cousin somewhere.
Funny. Well,
I was Mrs. McCartney and she was Mrs. Harrison.
You did marry a George.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Oh, and I did attend. I remember when the Beatles came to Empire Stadium and my sister and I were going, and like, she's a year older than me. And I was, I forget how old I was. I can't remember what year that was. But I was. We got tickets. We begged for them. We had the Beatles shirts with the shaggy hair on them and everything. And I was too scared to go in. I remember that because of the hysteria that was going around. Like everybody was screaming and fainting and going crazy and pushing. And so I never got to see the Beatles. I couldn't be there.
Aww. Well, I mean, you just weren't ready. It's pretty intimidating and daunting for a child to see that kind of hysteria and not think that you're not going to be hurt by it or trampled by it or something, right? It seems and feels very out of control.
And they said you couldn't even hear it because the screaming was so loud, you couldn't hear the music. So,
wow.
There you go.
I heard that they couldn't even hear themselves play. The screaming was so loud, they couldn't hear themselves playing.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
So, I mean, these people were going to see to hear this music, but it wasn't that. Because if they really wanted to hear the music, they would have just been a little bit quieter, you know? It was just the hysteria of the Beatles. Yeah.
Well, it's a phenomenon. It's such an interesting thing, and how catchy it was, and how so many people were affected by it. So I find that fascinating, and it certainly would have been interesting to be one of the Beatles members at that time.
Oh yeah.
And to have that experience, wouldn't it?
Oh, I think so.
And I met Jim Morrison.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that he was like a Greek god or something on TV.
Yeah,
tell us about
Jim
Morrison in a minute or less.
Yeah, we have 1 minute left until we got to be done the show.
Very cool. There you go.
Well, thank you for calling in. We love you.
Okay,
and,
love you guys. See you in 5 minutes.
Bye.
I love random shows. I really do because we have laughs. We don't know where it's going to end up. We've talked about golden showers. And it's just been great.
And the sewer systems of love. So I just tweeted Woody's alter ego, who said, "My sewer pipes have been clogged longer than I'd like to admit." And I said a big aww.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody to have sewer system pipes of love. I don't even know how to say that in correct order. I cannot correctly quote Miss Ash Riot.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap the show up. We've got 2 more weeks before our next show. Happy New Year again to those of you who haven't listened to us since 2013. We've been on since then, but just passing that along to you. Thank you for this. I hope you enjoy your own junk drawers of extravaganza, rifling through memories and things that have served. Junk drawers are something. All of us need them. We love you.
Take care.
Tree.
Bye.
Bye.